Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. How are you? It is Thursday, June 25th, 2026. Yes, I know the podcast is late. Yes, I know you guys were looking forward to it. And no, I don't really have a great reason for it. Mostly what was happening is I just feel a little bit of burnout. You know what I mean? It's a little tired, a little old. Brains are slow, man. It's just life was kicking me right in the face. And yeah, good times. So yeah, I don't know what to say except for sorry about that. And hopefully we will be better on about getting on schedule. Ooh, going into next week. Wow, really? Anyway, hope you guys are doing well. I had a whole litany of things I wanted to say, and I just forgot them all, so we're just going to go to the basics. Thank you guys again for supporting the podcast, wherever you have, however you have, whether you're just sharing it with your friends, sharing it online, going to visit the Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. I want to have some more bonus content up there, and I think I'm going to do a media one this weekend. Go through some more movies and TV shows and, you know, music and stuff like that that I've been catching up on. Or getting, you know, been made aware of over the last week. So keep your ears and eyes open for that one. I had an idea about like how I wanted to run the Patreon and whatnot. And I don't know that it's quite hitting the intended marks. So I mean, it'd be one thing if there was like a really high push in demand, if I saw like a gigantic uptick in listeners or whatever, and I'm like, oh, the Patreon's necessary. But for as infrequently as content comes by, and, you know, I mean, literally it's just me coming up with stuff off the top of my head to try to talk about unless somebody writes in, I might end up closing it. You know, I might just end up closing the Patreon and just be like, you know what, whatever. If you want to support, you can, you know, donate or whatever, or just share the podcast. It was cool for a little while because it was a way to kind of like open up some more avenues for people to access stuff. And I wanted to try to make it more than it is, but I think maybe it's just a little bit more than I could chew. And honestly, with everything that's going on in the world, in my life and just around it, like, a lot of stuff has kind of fallen to the wayside, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it. Part of me is like, I mean, I love podcasting. I love streaming and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm just going through like a little crisis right now, mentally and emotionally, trying to figure out like, is it worth it? You know what I mean? As much as I love the things, is it really worth bothering to continue doing, you know? Maybe it's more of an existential thing than anything else, because it certainly isn't financial. It's not like the podcast was ever making me, you know, rich or anything like that. I wasn't doing this or even the streaming really for the money so much, because I was like, if there's something here, then the money will come. But it's been long enough. I'm like, it's probably time to hang it up. I don't know. It's like I said, I'm sure everybody feels this way at some point. Like, is this whole shit worth it? I think maybe I'm just hitting that point right now. I'm like, is this even worth trying anymore? It's a weird place to be in. But here we are. And we're just going to keep moving right now. That is a debate to have later in the comments or in the emails. If somebody decides they want to write in, that'd be a great debate to have later. Like, what do you do when you feel like you've done all you can do? Kind of like, how do you know when it's time to quit? You know, like, I think if you were like for, I mean, there's certain pursuits where there's like maybe a benchmark that you hit and you go like, okay, I you would be able to accomplish X by this point in time. And if you're not able to do that, maybe it's time to hang this up. Unfortunately for people who are like, you know, probably more creative than, creatively inclined more than like mechanically inclined or something like as long as a professional kind of career sort of thing. Like if you're like an insurance adjuster or, you know, a like a real estate broker or a doctor or shit, even if you're like a, if you're a custodian in a school, there's probably like a little spot where you can be like, you know, if I've been working for this, you know, for, let's say the custodian thing, if I've been working for this school for like, you know, 10 years and there's like 8 janitors here or whatever, and I'm still just guy on the roster and not like running the sanitation department, it might be time to just move careers or something. But when it comes to creative pursuits, there's really no, I guess there's no time limit. So that's why I'm struggling. It'd be one thing if you look at a person's career and say, definitively, by this time, you should have achieved X. But there are so many people who find their fame and success, or not even just fame or, you know, or just success in general, like find a way to make a career later in life, that it's kind of counterintuitive to say, I think I'm done. And you never know, like the very next month could be the thing that turns your whole world and your whole career around. You know, maybe this month, if I quit today and never did another episode of the podcast or never streamed another second of video on Twitch, tomorrow would have been the day that so-and-so could have been like, oh, I like this guy. I like what he's doing. Let's reach out to him. Let's offer him like a sponsorship deal, or let's have him come and work on our platform and do his podcast or whatever on our thing. Yeah, you know, you never know when that day is coming. And so that makes it really difficult to say, I'm done and hang it up. But the hardest part about it is because nobody wants to pay for art anymore. You know what I mean? We all want to consume art and make, you know, and profit from it. But we don't want to be bothered trying to pay people with the creative capacity to produce it. It's killing people like myself who are struggling and trying to figure out a way to make it happen. And are just like, you know, I mean, fuck it. I might as well just go back to school, get a degree in learning, like maybe in like a language or some other bullshit profession that I don't give a fuck about and that drains my soul daily. But at least I'll be able to earn a paycheck and then just call it a day. You know, I know how bleak that sounds to some people. And I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic about your particular situation. Some people can go to like a 9-to-5 and it perfectly suits them. And everything around their life is just like, this is what I want. But some people look at that and it just feels like a smaller, like more intimate form of prison. You know? Maybe you don't, actually. I shouldn't ask if you know. You probably don't. You probably have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. But there's times when you look at like your personal life and your professional life and go like, am I doing the right thing? Is this worth continuing to do? Should I be doing anything else? Literally anything else besides this? I think I'm kind of hitting that point. You know, some might call it a midlife crisis. I think it's just an existential crisis in general. I think a lot of people feel this way, but not a lot of people talk about how it feels to feel this way. Like, I think a lot of people are like, man, am I fucking up right now? But not a lot of people are going to be like, am I fucking up? Like, and then, you know, it's like you could ask friends and family and stuff like that and always be like, no, you're fine. But like, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and go like, am I doing the right thing? And if your reflection in the mirror goes, man, I don't even know, then you're asking yourself all the right questions and that gets scary. You go like, oh no, even I don't know what I think. Isn't that crazy? You live, your brain lives inside your head. And your soul lives somewhere adjacent to that whole thing, your mind and everything like that. And you cannot know most of it. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that wild? Like just how pervasive and all encompassing our mind, our soul, our heart, spirit, all those concepts, right? Are of what makes up a person. And yet we look absolutely so infinitesimally small. Such an infinitesimally small amount of what goes into making people people. You know, most of the qualities we define as making a person are so amorphous that, you know, they can be applied to even inanimate objects sometimes, it seems. You know? I think you know a lot because I feel like I'm talking to somebody and they're just not paying attention. You ever have that too? You're talking to somebody and you're saying words to them and they just kind of... You can either tell they either zone out or they're not completely engaged. And they, especially when they don't respond, and even like a minor interjection, like a mm-hmm, or oh, really? something like that would let you know, oh, this person is actively listening to what I'm saying right now. And you watch them just kind of zone out. And I've done it before to people, you know, like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I saw that that aunt had like, you know, 12 shoes. And I'm like, well, you only have 6 legs. And he's like, well, I have another pair. And I have like another set of shoes for when I go out and one for just when I'm going to work, right? And, they go, and you go, yeah, you know what I mean? And they go, mm-hmm. You're like, you're not fucking listening to me. So anyway, that's probably why I do that a lot. I just feel like I end up talking to myself more than anybody else. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. Patreon. Keep it or trash it. I don't know. I'm still struggling with that. Because there's stuff I wanted to do, and like I said, just feels like no matter what I do, no matter how much time I think I've used effectively, it feels like there's never enough fucking time to do it. And there's other shit that I would rather not do, but I've got to do it so I can like live in the house as a person. And just fucking over it, dude. I really am. It makes you kind of feel like I would love to just like take off and go and, you know, just rewind time or like travel back in time to a place where like you could be like an artist in residence. And like, what do? I just fucking sit here and paint and they give me like wine and cheese. I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. Why? Because they're rich and they like my art and I could just do that. That'd be fucking sick. That'd be absolutely sick. But that is not life. And it's definitely not this life. So we got to figure out something. Who knows? Maybe if you guys email me over there, I'll put it together and figure it out. But there's other stuff to talk about. I've had some good streams on Twitch, I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of fun streaming over there on Twitch. You guys see the links, twitch.tv/linkib. Playing a lot of this new game, well, new to me anyway, called Where Winds Meet. And it is all the stuff that I always wanted to play in like massively multiplayer online role-playing game, essentially. This has got it all. It's amazing. I mean, if you're a fan of like martial arts movies, especially like the old period piece kind of Chinese wuxia like genre, this is going to be right up your alley. The best thing about it, I think, is that it's free to play. Obviously, just like any other free to play model, and most games, it seems like in, you know, 2026, it's a live service game, so it's supported by in-game currency purchases. The one thing I could say about this that I've had like not the one thing, because there's a couple of things. Overall, this game hits a lot of boxes. It checks a lot of boxes for me. High-flying fantasy martial arts action, great story, absolutely gorgeous scenes, landscapes and areas are richly detailed. You know, they feel alive and, you know, lived in. It's not just like, you know, just slick presentation. Everything has a little bit of this is a real living, persistent world. I mean, the sound design is incredible. The combat's actually really refreshing and fun. It's familiar if you're a fan of games like Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice or Elden Ring, like a lot of the Soulsborne kinds of games, or even something like Black Myth Wukong. You know, if you're familiar with that, you know, style of gameplay. It'll feel instantly familiar and also at the same time challenging. So there's lots of great stuff going for it. There's an endless amount of customization, it seems. And, you know, there's just like an incredible and scary amount of freedom. Now, when you're doing story missions, yeah, it gets a little bit more terse. There were moments where I'd be working a story mission and I just walked a little bit outside of the mission area. And instead of being like, hey, go back to do the thing, it was like, and you were instantly killed. I'm like, whoa, okay, neat. Like one moment I was supposed to be hunting down one of the main characters in the story. And that was we're on this outcropping looking at their little hideout. And while we're standing there, this other character is talking to me and I'm listening. I'm like, huh? Yeah. All right. And I just went to creep around the outside of this like small little storage unit that, or storage shed that we were hiding out in. I just went to walk around the edge and says, "You're discovered and killed in a hail of arrows." I'm like, what? All I wanted to do is just walk around the back of the building. I didn't leave. They were just like, yeah, you're dead. I'm like, neat. So some of that stuff is kind of like keeps you on rails. But it doesn't really feel like it's overbearing. It's just like, you know, if you're going to play the story, play the story. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, I think I'll probably end up peeling off from the main storyline and doing a bunch of like side quests just to kind of, one, explore the world a little bit more, and two, level up my character. The level progression is interesting. You obviously progress by, you know, winning battles, solving puzzles, doing quests for, you know, quest givers in the world, like side quests and whatnot. It's not really that different in that regard. But there's also little tiny things that you can do to kind of chip away at that experience meter. And they're so like well buried in the overall play of the game that you almost don't notice that they're there. Things like finding and petting all the cats in the world, right? Collecting little items for crafting medicine or refining weapons. Eating stuff, like even eating certain items regains you like a little bit of experience in certain ways. Some of it's actual core XP. Some of it's this stuff called, oh my goodness, I forgot what it was. Starts with an E. Basically, it's like a, basically aura, essentially. So you're, it's the way that you're perceived in the world. It's kind of like charisma, sort of. But yeah. I think though when I'm talking about this now and how I'm getting lost in it, that's one of the biggest problems with the game. Now, there are some tuning issues that need to happen with like the camera and some of the combat mechanics. There's one in particular for parrying and blocking that could use some refinement. But that's kind of a minor sticking point. One thing that really needs some work is the glut of menus and the sheer vastness of how they're tiered versus how to get in and out of to them to find them and how most succinctly to access. There's so many different things that you can do and can affect and look at that kind of keeping track of how you do the thing to do the thing, or how do you get to the screen to do the thing is staggering. Thankfully for me, I'm pretty bullheaded when it comes to, I want to learn how to do this thing, so I'm going to figure it out. So, I mean, while there is like, so eloquently put, my daughter Haley said it's menu fatigue because you're just literally, you're digging through trees and trees of menus at certain points. If it's not for that, it's sometimes the fact that the user interface is not, I don't know, it's not well optimized. I mean, in general, not even just for controller, because originally this was like on PC and mobile. But like just for controller play, it's not very well designed. And the, you know, the highlighting reticle, I don't know why people do this. I really wish they would stop. If you're going to have a light colored reticle, you need a darker colored background. This feels like it should be game design 101, but it totally isn't. And if you're going to have a light-colored background, you need a dark and very easily identifiable, you know, selection reticle, basically. So if you're going to have like a white background, for example, then you need like maybe like a dark, maybe like a dark blue that's like rimmed in the middle with like a lighter color, like a very light blue, like a with like a bluish halo or something around it. It needs to be something that pops out, like, or like if it's gonna be yellow, it needs to be like almost, it can't even be yellow. Let's just put it that way. Stop putting yellow reticles on white backgrounds. It's stupid. And it makes people lose the reticle and it gets lost in the wash. There's another game that was very much like this. I wanna say No, it was Fragpunk. And I really wanted to like that game. It just ended up being a very disappointing experience. That was one of the things about it. It had such a highly saturated color palette that they had this tiny little cursor. I mean, the thing looked like it might have been 6 pixels wide. It was so small. It would just get lost in the wash of all the colors and sparkles and, you know, menu effects that, like, when you finally found it, you're like, Jesus, where did it go? Sorry, I need some water. So, I mean, that's like the only, the main complaint that I have is that the menus and the user interface need to be better optimized. However, other than that, it's not stopped me from putting endless hours, it seems like, into this game already. I mean, I'm pretty sure I only put in maybe like 15, 20 hours tops, which is not a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it's really not for a game of this size. But the level progression is going quickly. There's one other thing that is kind of unnerving about the level progression. Like, your character will gain levels by completing quests and objectives and such and so on and so forth. You know, like I said, collecting items, you know, eating food and shit like that. But the really bizarre thing is that you have to level up your martial arts skills. Now, that's not that strange for a martial arts RPG. But it is bizarre that, like, you have numerous skills that you can learn and they all just get leveled up by money. Like, you're basically, you pay money and then you learn skill that makes, you learn, like, gain level in said skill that makes skill more effective. I don't know that I like that. It would be more interesting if you had to, if you use the money and similar to a game like Genshin Impact where you use, you know, certain items and tomes to level up skills or enhance weapons, something like that where you could use your, you would earn these items to level up your characters and weapons and whatnot. But you could also, like, kind of purchase some of these items with the in-game currency that the world just drops, like the world's money. I feel like that would be one. I mean, maybe it's in there and I just have yet to find it. But early on, paying to get your martial arts skills up just feels weird. It's not bad, just feels weird. You get more than enough money to level up as you progress, and it doesn't cost as much as you would think per level. But, you know, the character that I have has learned like 6 different martial styles, and each one of those, now that my character is level 20, each one of those requires a certain investment of gold or whatever the coins are, the yuan, I think it is yuan, into leveling them up. So if I do decide that I want to switch to one, you can either like just level up the ones that you're actively using, or you can try to level them all up to a certain degree so it doesn't become cost prohibitive later down the line to level up any single one. Goodness, I have no idea why I'm yawning so much. It's probably because I didn't go for a walk. Anyway, so yeah, it's just like I said, little nitpicky stuff. Overall, game is fun, free to play, give it a shot. If you like that kind of thing, you're going to love it. I think probably my single favorite thing, aside from like the cool animations and whatnot, is that the jumping ability when you're moving around in the world and you're not, you know, constrained to a dungeon, which cuts off your jumping ability immensely. Being able to do the giant sweeping wuxia jumps, you know what I mean, like floating in the air, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, that is a singular delight. It is very fun. And it feels very apropos for this style of game. I wish more games did more shit like this because it's absolutely fantastic and fun. And I mean, it's to the point where like now, if I don't have to be riding a horse, I don't have to walk, I just float, fly everywhere. It's incredible. So give it a peek. Oh, I don't, one other minor thing, but it's not really minor because it happens a lot. There's no real good way to be brown. And I know that seems like a weird thing to complain about, or maybe you've heard people complain about it before. I don't think it's as bizarre, and I'm not saying it's the coolest thing you can do. I don't think it's as bizarre because this is a game that's based in a Chinese world, but it would be really cool if they had given you the opportunity to darken your skin more than just trying to find the one color palette swap that they built into the game and then have to strip the hair off of it and change the features to make it kind of look like a brown, black-skinned person. China, you got to step it up, man. I know you guys have this thing about black people and thing about darker skin colors, but just be real with yourselves. You know y'all be wanting this shit too. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm just kidding. A lot of the stuff you'll see, like, you know, in Asian cultures and not all, but in a lot of Asian cultures and a lot of cultures in general, the fairer the skin, the more highly prized, the more beautiful somebody's envisioned to be, which is not necessarily the case, because then when you see that they meet black people, like, oh, I need to get a tan. Word. So if anybody's out there and they're watching, listening to this podcast right now that works for like NetEase or whatever, just let them know, the dev team. Hey, put some color shaders in there. You can make fucking SpongeBob and Yoda. You can make a skin shader that gets me a little bit closer to my darker colored complexion, man. And the fact that I can't do a bald character without my head looking like a fucking, like I peeled my knee all the way down to the bone. You got to work on that, man. You got to be able, if you're going to be able to be bald headed, the skin got to turn the same color. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing to have to deal with in 2026, but here we are. I actually saw another game that's I've been trying to get into the freaking closed beta for, but I've not heard back yet. It's a game called Animo. Now, this is another one of those games that kind of feels like it's a combination of like Monster Hunter and Pokemon, you know, and like games like Pal World, right? It feels a little bit less Pal World-y, but it doesn't feel not that, you know? And it's currently in beta right now. They actually did a one content creator, I think, on YouTube. I hate saying that. There's one videographer, video vlogger. How would you call somebody on YouTube? Just, I mean, YouTuber just seems so reductive. Because I don't think that was this person's entire identity online. Anyway, they created a black-skinned character in Animo, and it looks right. Like, it doesn't look like, oh, you just take one color brown and just turn it till they look like a piece of charcoal. Like, you could actually have varying shades of brown that were, like, human-looking. And I was like, that is pretty neat. Because the closest I could figure that I could get in Where Winds Meet was just kind of like a peanut butter brown. But that's just a person from China who's just been out in the sun a lot, but works in the field or some shit like that. But it couldn't get like really dark from what I was able to see. And it was kind of disappointing, but I have to go play around with it some more. I just wish there was a little bit, and it's highly customizable, so there's a lot of options to fight with and fool around with to make your character look as close to your own self or anybody else as you could think of, as for that matter, as possible. But the skin tone option wasn't really popping like that, so might have to go take a look at it again, but we'll see. Anyway, I like that, you know, being able to make you represent. If they're not going to give you representation by creating a character that looks like you, being able to offer representation by like allowing you to change your skin tone to whatever you want or however you feel, or whatever, is great. There needs to be more of that. I really like that. Ooh, goodness. Excuse me. That was a serious little burp right there. That did not feel great at all. And I keep fighting with the Zen browser. I did pick it up. And I have been using it. It's not horrible, but I mean, God bless America. This thing needs to have an update. This browser needs to have an update. It seems like every 2 days. Now, I do understand that they're in like a beta phase for this thing too. And a lot of times that means that as they make fixes and changes, they want to send them right out to you. Oh my goodness, really? I might need to actually get up and go for a run here or something. What is happening today? But yeah, I was just getting annoyed with the fact that there's like, you know, constantly an update. And there's some features on it that are weird. I'm not 100% sold on. So my buddy mentioned Vivaldi. And I'd heard of Vivaldi before, I just never actually used it. And I might go ahead and pull it up just to give it a spin. But I do like the fact that Zen doesn't track your data. They don't keep any of your personal data, like even the passwords and stuff like that. Like they'll put those into like a password manager, but like outside of that, like they're like, nah. You give your information through another site using our browser, that's on you, but we're not tracking any of that shit. I might have to go and dig through the experience a little bit more. Maybe add some ad blockers, something like that, to kind of enrich the experience. I mean, but we shall see. I'm debating whether or not to pull Vivaldi up. I've already gone through Brave, Edge, now Zen. I don't really want to download another browser, man. But who knows? We might have to go that way. Anyway, yeah, I guess. I mean, we already know all the weird stuff. I mean, the world is crazy. Trump is crazy. The people around him are crazy. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I think it was maybe like the day before I did the podcast. J.D. Vance, probably the weirdest vice president in history, met with like a British premier or something like that, and was talking about a man who was stabbed to death by a Sikh man. It was a white guy in Britain, in London, who was like stabbed to death by a Sikh man, and instantly went to like, yeah, you know, if you have illegal immigration, you know, is really one of the problems, is bringing this kind of violence into your country. And maybe now that you see it here, you'll understand what it's like over there. And they're like, hey, racist asshole. They were both British citizens. Just say you hate black and brown people. Say you don't like your wife and your kids. Just say it. You'll feel better if you get it off your chest and let it out. So yeah, that guy's weird. Trump gets booed at the World Cup because of course he was. Of course he was. Nobody wants him anywhere where they're at. You know what I mean? That's why he has to force all those people to stand behind him wherever he goes, because if they don't, then it looks like he doesn't have any friends, which he probably doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, when you're that reprehensible of a person, the people who are hanging around, you're only really doing it because they have to. This is the same thing with J.D. Vance. I forget where it was. It was like some other world summit. It wasn't the G7. But he was standing there for these negotiations or whatever. And like the whole time he was standing in the back, like everybody's just kind of walking and milling around him. But nobody really even really approached him. They were talking to one another. And they just kind of left him alone. And then I want to say it was the Daily Show pointed out, in the middle of this summit, he like pinches his nostrils together, like he puts his fingers up his nose and pinches his nostrils together, and then pulls down through his septum, just like he's pulling a snot out, and then he wipes it on the chair in front of him. I'm like, you nasty. It was so gross. I was like, we've all had that moment where you feel like you got something under your nose, just kind of like just briefly give it like a swipe. You know what I mean? But he like really dug in there, pinched in, and was like, yeah. And then he just went whip, whip, right on the chair in front of him. I'm like, ew. Somebody's seen you do that. You got a pocket square in your pocket right now. Use your handkerchief, you nasty bastard. That was just gross, but it was also funny to be like, that's why nobody likes us, because we're fucking nasty. It's amazing. And it's great to see, like, when all their stuff falls apart, like, how they get mad at everything. Like, first of all, we've got the Iran war, the Iran conflict, the war in Iran. Even, like, conservatives are like, dude, what are we doing? This is a fucking nightmare. Get us out of there. And they're like, well, I don't want to be supporting this because it's ruining things for myself, my constituents, blah, blah, blah. So even like MAGA and Republican, just conservatives in general, are starting to go like, this is not the making America great thing that we were looking for, right? This is not how we want to be. This is not making us great at all. Yeah, it's, and like I said, they're doing everything wrong. So the new director of national intelligence, Bill Pulte, showed up early to his job, and they're like, he wanted to just get in there and start firing people like right away. Like, what is it with these people when they get into a position of power? They instantly have to start firing people no matter what. Like, I gotta get rid of you and you and you and you and you. Like, we just met. He's like, yeah, but you're fired. Like, what the fuck? That, I mean, maybe he's, that's what he's doing. Maybe he just wanted to come and check out his desk. But like, Tulsi Gabbard wasn't even out of the building yet. He's just like, let me start moving things around in here. I'm like, that's fucking weird, man. You guys could give it a rest just for a minute. Just for a minute. Like, chill, bro. It's really hard to even begin to think that that was the thing. I mean, that would be like the move. Is like, we can just be chill, right? Like, we can relax and just not be dickheads. Because everything they do is so unchill, it's so uncool. You know, so Obama's library dedication was truly a celebration. Absolutely gorgeous, wonderful speeches, wonderful performances by people who actually wanted to be there. It's really funny to me that so many people are like, well, you like, we want you to perform for the president for 250, blah, blah, blah. He's like, they're like, people are like, nah. Then he's mad because Obama is actually just genuinely cool. Like, whether you cared about him as a president or a human, like, that's just, I don't care how you felt about him as a president, as a father, as a husband. Just in general, the dude was cool, man. And he hung out with cool people and did cool people shit. And Trump and his friends are a bunch of fucking dorks. They really are. They're so goddamn weird. Like, who wants to hang out with kid, a 70-year-old, almost 70-year-old man still calling himself Kid Rock? Nigga, please, let it go. Vanilla Ice? Word? Millie Vanilli? Even, like, the black people you hang around with just be, like, just this shade of white. It's, like, it's so... And it's not that the being white isn't cool. It's just like it's that you could tell that that's the only goal. It's like, as long as they're white, they can hang out with us. It's like, ah, come on, man. It's like you're already like lame as shit. You're old as fuck. You look gross. You know what I mean? You have like, I mean, not that that's the most important thing, but you just have an unlikable personality. If you can even call it that. So then on top of all of those negatives, you bring in some of the most washed up and beaten down and run over musicians, like one-hit wonders, essentially. Like Kid Rock had a couple other albums. He only had like three actual songs that anybody knows, you know? Vanilla Ice had exactly two. There was Ice Ice Baby, and then there was the Ninja Rap from the Ninja Turtles 2. I think that was it. Whichever one of them was where they had like the big, you know, the big dance battle and everything. Like, that's it. It's been Ice Ice Baby and the Ninja Rap. Those are your two biggest songs? Such a prolific career. So the Obama thing goes over and everybody's just like, man, we got all these wonderful, you know, wonderful people hanging out. The vibes are crispy clean. And then Trump is like, I had a fight. The best one was like, it's now called the White Trash House because he's like, part of the, if I told you that I watched my neighbor have a cage match in front of their house where part of it had been demolished and the pool was filled with algae, you would think I was talking about somebody in like backwoods Mississippi or something like that. But that's what happened in Washington, D.C. at the White House. So, like, yeah. Yeah. It was just, it's just such a tawdry, like, gaudy place now. I feel like maybe they would need to have to demo the entire White House and build it over again after he's gone. Just to get the stink off of it, you know? That's fucking wild. And they really be trying. The reflecting pool memes alone are hilarious, but it's not funny that it's happening, right? Like, I do like the one that somebody called the reflecting pool the straight straight of warm ooze. The straight of warm ooze. I'm like, yo, Zero chill, internet. Zero chill. Another one was like a... Oh! They took a photograph of the pool and like just kind of like cropped out the bottom of the photograph as the pool's coming towards you. You know what I mean? In the photograph, it's coming to the foreground. And then superimposed like Mario in a frog suit underwater. The Super Mario just swimming around collecting coins and junk. It was absolutely insane. Then the memes are amazing. But Trump is mad. And of course, when Baby Hands gets angry, what does Baby do? Baby makes everyone suffer. So he's now arresting people for vandalizing the reflecting pool he already vandalized by painting it blue like an idiot. Yeah, and just because he's destroyed it, but he doesn't want anybody to know he fucked up, because that doesn't project an image of strength. So now he's just arresting people for just, like, you know, putting their hands in the water. Like, why you'd want to, I don't know. Some people are pulling up pieces of the paint that's peeling off of the bottom because they ruined it when they added all that extra hydrogen peroxide to it to try to kill the algae. They just ruined the paint, so now it's coming up. And they're mad, of course, as they should be, because it's fucked up, but they fucked it up, so you kind of got to be mad at you. They're just misdirecting the anger. And it's funny that now that's happened, you know, the pool's ruined, and it's all his stupid-ass fault. They're going to put up a fence to keep people out of it. They already killed some ducks and stuff like that, and anything that jumps into that pool right now is most likely going to die. But, yeah, now we got to make sure that we put a fence around it. Super cool, right? A chain-link fence around the reflecting pool in D.C.? Never would have seen that coming. Not in 100 years. And boy, I get to live it in my lifetime. Isn't that amazing? It's just one thing after another, man. One thing after another. Oh, I did see this thing about, I forget who this dude is, and I don't really give a shit. I just saw him on a Reese Waters video where he was some really light-skinned dude with dreads and like tattoos on his face and piercings everywhere. Rocking a red MAGA hat and a jersey, like a, you know, live free or die kind of jersey. He's trying to look like he's one of the Yin Yang twins, but he's just doesn't have the same level of swagger. And he's bragging about how he, you know, he lives on the white side of town, which is where all the good people live. And you go to the hood and you can deal with them niggas if you want to. He did a video where this is how much of a poser this fucking guy is. He did a video where he made an AI overlay for somebody else's grave, mind you, and said, I'm bringing a bag of ice to Renee Good. I'm like, one, that's disgusting. Two, you're such a pussy, you couldn't even take it to like her actual gravesite because you know it'd probably be stoned to death. And three, why? Of all the things you could have done today, like, this was the move. And he takes a bag of ice and puts it on somebody's grave, who's not Renee Good, by the way. You can see that it's literally like he had somebody, like, you know, After Effects or whatever, the name Renee Good on the tombstone that he's visiting. Because he's too much of a little, you know, a little bitch to, like, go there for real and do it for real. So... I just think that, like, on social media, the response has basically been, like, you know, this is why we say all skin folk ain't kin folk. And one dude was like, I really hope they rock your shit, homie. And I'm like, I'm with you on that one. If you, even though it's an AI image, you didn't, here's the other thing. Not only did you disrespect the memory of a woman who was murdered by ICE agents, you also went to somebody else's grave and disrespected their grave for your own bigotry and bullshit. Word? So you were two for two on that one? It's not a hot look, homie. It's really not a hot look. And I hate to say it. I mean, I hate to say it just because I hate to be bothered with these people. But, like, that kind of karma comes back. And it comes back bad. It comes back real bad. Yeah. Anyways, enough about that troll. There's another one. This guy, Dalton Etherly. You know, Chud the Builder. I saw a story about him this past week that it kind of threw me for a loop. One, I was happy about this one. His bond has been denied. So he's going to be in jail. Ain't no running around out here causing mayhem and havoc. And if you guys don't remember the story about Chud the Builder, he was a dude who was running around on social media. I think it might have been TikTok or whatever. And he would just go up to black people and harass them, call them racial slurs. And then when they would get mad at him, he'd pull a gun out on them and try to like scare him, you know, away from him. Well, he tried this shit and he was antagonizing one dude and he shot this brother. And the dude kept coming. I didn't know that altercation where he shot himself. This is how dumb this fucking idiot is. So first off, he shoots this guy that he's in an altercation with. A verbal altercation, mind you. He shoots this guy first. So he's instantly the aggressor here. Not only does he shoot first, he doesn't manage to kill him or wound him sufficiently enough to stop this man from putting hands on him. So then dude gets him, puts the tips on him, knocks him down, and in his panic to try to kill the guy, because he's getting his ass kicked, Dalton shoots himself. He cheddar bobbed his own ass, and that's all you need to know about how just weak this dude is. Now he's in jail, and good. I hope that the judge makes him stay there forever. But he tried to kill a man that he started an argument with, who then proceeded to beat his ass. And then after he shot him, the dude still kept coming, and he went, and just ran and shot himself trying to get away. That's beautiful, man. It doesn't really get much more karma coming back to you than that. And rightfully deserved, too, because fuck that guy. And people have learned, there's a lot of people catching their L's lately. You know, Carlos Mencia. Remember, some of you might remember the show Mind of Mencia. And he was, you know, a big comic back in like the early mid-90s, I think it was. I want to say probably like mid-90s, somewhere between like 95 and 98. He was kind of a big deal, got in a lot of trouble. Good Lord, really? Got in a lot of trouble for allegedly stealing jokes from other comedians and using them in his show and in his act. He had a show called Mind of Mencia. It was like a sketch comedy show centered around him and his ideologies and thoughts and whatnot. I mean, it was cute and fun for what it was. And then you heard about all the, you know, the alleged stealing of jokes. I'm going to say alleged because I don't know if it ever got really fully realized. But just recently, he got arrested for tax evasion. Turns out, Mencia's mind didn't extend to filing with the IRS. He's facing like a dozen felony tax-related charges from about $8.7 million in unreported income. Between 2019 and 2024. That's a long-ass time to not be paying taxes on that kind of money. But it's like more than $300,000 in unpaid state taxes. And he's saying he didn't do it. He's not guilty of this kind of stuff. I don't know, man. I don't know about this one. I mean, on the one hand, I'm not happy to see somebody that I actually did like for a long time get caught. But I mean, he's just, after the years have gone by, he's just become increasingly more polarizing, I guess is probably a pleasant way of saying it. He just seems like an ass. And, you know, it's one thing to be a jerk, that's fine. It's another thing to like be a criminal and a jerk. Do I mind him not paying taxes to the federal government? I figure the way that they're treating us right now, I mean, we should be able to decide if we want to. You know what I mean? Like, that should be the way it works. Hey, man, I don't feel like you working enough for me. No more money. But, I mean, he had the obligation. They sent him multiple notices. You want to know how many of it was? California Franchise Tax Board mailed Mencia 78 demand notices to his residents during those 5 years that are currently under investigation. 78. Are you fucking kidding? Only somebody who got that much money could afford to have that much leniency. If I didn't pay my taxes, the IRS would be at my door the week afterwards. Hey, where's our money? So I don't really feel bad for him. I just feel like this is a wild situation. I guess maybe this is karma catching up to the homie. Sucks to suck though. I think it's just, you know, it's just like, it's, again, people getting their uppances coming. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to witness. That's why all this stuff about, you know, the reflecting pool and Trump basically giving up on the war in Iran is funny to me. Because it's like, you were so bad at this that you were so bad at war that even the fake one that you started, you had to give up. And you not only just gave up, you gave them more than they had before you started fucking with them, you know? And one of the other ones that was great about the memes about the reflecting pool was that Trump is the only person in history, the only president in history to have been defeated by a single-celled organism. And I'm like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Algae kicked your ass. Funny stuff. People are finding out though that it's a lot harder to get away with your bullshit. One, because of the interconnectivity of the world, cameras, television, internet, just 24-hour access to news in general. So there's a footballer named Jeremy Doku, and he was part of the Belgian squad in the World Cup. You might not have heard of this dude, because maybe if you're an American, you wouldn't know anything about the cat. But, he's on the Belgian team, and he was being discussed on French media because he was going to leave the World Cup because his first child was being born. He's a young guy, 24, and he said, you know, it's a truly special moment. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm my firstborn child. You know what I mean? I definitely want to be there. He's like, nobody wants to miss the birth of their first child. And, this French sports broadcaster decided to fix her fat face to say, there are hundreds of footballers who would love to be in his position. Her name is France Perron. I hope I'm butchering that. Because fuck this lady. That's why. But she basically said, like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for somebody to be able to play in the World Cup. It might never happen again. She said, you're living out a childhood dream. And then she goes on to say this. Yet you're going to walk away from it all to attend the birth of your child. A disgusting moment, if you'll pardon the expression, where the dad is completely useless. Couple things. First of all, I think we all kind of know that childbirth is messy, but to call the actual act of childbirth disgusting, little more than a little insensitive to, I don't know, every mother on the fucking planet. And like I said, I'm sure that I've been around. I've seen actual live birth. It's not the most pleasant looking or smelling experience in the world, but that's only because it's a bodily function that's happening, and a bunch of bodily functions are usually happening at the same time. And if you're so thick-headed that you can't grasp that, you shouldn't even be around kids. That's my personal opinion. And then two, you really went and told this man he was basically useless when he was going to go and be there for the birth of his firstborn. That kind of mentality can go fuck itself. You know, in a world where, like, either we've talked so much about, like, deadbeat fathers and mothers, too. It happens that way as well. Or people who are disenfranchised from their children and would basically cut off their own legs to see them one more time. The fact that this young man was like, I'm going to give up on the opportunity of a lifetime because I've been given the greatest opportunity of a lifetime to be a father. You know, the fact that this young man had the presence and the poise to say, I'm going to walk away from this opportunity for this one right here. I'll have the World Cup for however long that glory lasts. I'm going to have this child for the rest of our lives. And I definitely want to be invested in that. And this rotten, rancid heifer decided to fix her face to say, nah. And people are dragging her. And of course, you know, as always, whenever this kind of thing happens, the network makes a retraction. We disavow these kinds of remarks. We condemn in the strongest terms possible this sort of ideology and this sort of think when it comes to fatherhood and this young man's decisions. Right. Okay. I mean, at least they seem to be more... They seem to be taking it more seriously than Perron. So, this is from the Professional Footballers Association. Said that the demands placed on players should not be at the expense of fundamental family moments. And, quote, while every situation is different, we believe players should be supported in balancing their professional responsibilities with important life events. L'Equipe is the French outlet. They publicly distanced themselves from what this lady said, saying that her remarks were, quote, far removed, end quote, from the organization's values. And then apologized to Doku and to the viewers. People saying that she won't be back on the air till early July. On X, this is what this little... I'm watching my tone here. This is what this motherfucker said. Sorry. These remarks are solely my own and in no way reflect a collective position. I understand that they may have shocked, offended, or hurt some of you, and I am sorry for that. You could have just said that they told me at gunpoint, like, if I don't apologize, I'm going to lose my job. I don't really give a fuck about none of y'all. And we'd have been like, well, at least we believe that. Like, that, you don't have to try, don't force an apology out of somebody. You know, just let stand on that. You meant what you said, and you didn't give a damn who it hurt. You're not mad at you. You're not upset or sad that you've hurt somebody else. You're just upset or sad that you're being made to apologize. You're sorry you did it. You're sorry you got caught, right? Kind of thing. So, fuck this lady. I hope she loses her job because that's really gross. And I hope that she has to work really hard to get it back. You know what I mean? They're like, you're fired. And then she has to, like, basically jump through all these hoops and stuff to get it back. Because I think sometimes, like, I know it sounds weird to say, like, I hope somebody gets fired over their freedom of speech. I'm like, there's a thing about freedom of speech where you're not free from the consequences of the speech, though. And I think too many people get way too comfortable just being able to say whatever the fuck they want just because they feel like, I have freedom of speech. It's like, yeah, you do. But you also have intuition and insight, one would hope. And you should have used some of that before you started saying all this wild shit on TV. Now you got to pay the price. You're allowed to say it. Here's the thing. Freedom of speech ain't free. You know what I mean? Like, you're allowed to say whatever you want to say. But you're not allowed to just get away with it, Scott. Free. You got to pay up. You got to pay up something. You know, at some point, everybody has to chip in on this one. And everybody's going to get their little, you know, moment of, oh, I said that? Ouch. Well, I shouldn't have done that. Kind of thing. Anyway. Fun. Man, that just cracked my knuckles. That hurted it. No, I heard this story too. I don't know, see if I can find this real quick. There's a young dude in Louisiana saying he was cured of sickle cell. That's what the news is. Yeah, this one is crazy. I'm like, okay, so. This is Daniel Cressy, right? This 23-year-old New Orleans man. They say he's the first person to be functionally cured of sickle cell through gene therapy, right? He almost lost his dream of being a pilot because of this blood disorder. Usually, generally, I mean, from my understanding, only really affects black people. He said it was a 2-year journey to do this procedure and that he wants to start his own nonprofit to help other people who are dealing with sickle cell. But yeah, the doctor says the patient's own stem cells have been edited in the lab so they no longer produce the defective cells that create the disease, sickle cell. And he's the first person in that region to be cured of this, so it's pretty crazy and amazing, right? It says someone's ability to access treatment and potentially a cure should not be defined by their zip code. People in Louisiana deserve the same opportunity as people anywhere else in this country. People living with the sickle cell disease are here. They're our neighbors, our friends, our families. And one of the other statements was, the entire journey was the hardest thing I've been through in my life. And the reason why I work so hard with our organization, Privileged Pilots, is because I don't want anybody else to have to experience the loneliness and the uncertainty and the hopelessness I felt a couple years ago. So congrats to this man and the medical team at Manning Family Children's Hospital. And I hope he stays free of this and goes on to live a long and productive life. So good on you, Daniel Creasy. That's awesome. Very happy for that. That's some good news right there. We like that. We like a good news story. And I just saw that. I'm like, that is crazy that that happened. That's also amazing. That's how far medical technology has come too. Yeah, this is so much stuff is going on. It's unbelievable. Man, I tell you, we had this issue this past week. Something about like the just the build of this house, just every now and again, something just crazy will happen. And like, oh, that doesn't work. Yeah, we figured this is only a matter of time before that just didn't happen. It wasn't working anymore. We had a toilet in our master bath just plug up. No idea why. Just every now and again, it would just gag itself, and so like you plunge it, and it would usually come loose. This time, however, it was stuck for like almost 2 days, and I'll be honest, it was on next to nothing. Like I went there to use it. I didn't take a dump or anything like that. I just literally just went to go pee, blew my nose, threw the tissue in the toilet, and the toilet just backed up. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So I start plunging it, trying to get it to come loose, and then like nothing was really working. I tried this stuff called Green Gobbler, which is supposed to help break up like biological, backup and build up clogs kind of thing. And after running like two treatments of this stuff down the toilet, it still wasn't working. So unfortunately, we had to call a plumber. And he came looking at it, and he's like, "Yeah, I did this, that, and the other thing. I pulled an auger in there." And the auger just blew the line out. It was like, boof! And then all of a sudden it was running clean. He's like, I have no idea what happened. He's like, there's no apparent blockages in your line. There's like a little bit of buildup on the inside, but that's going to happen in a house that's 3 years old. There's going to be something in there. And he's like, but there's nothing I can see anywhere else that like should have made this toilet back up like that. I'm like, we know, like there's no reason for any of this to have happened, but we're stuck with it. And so, yeah, he was giving like some little tips and whatnot. One of the tips I found out later from some other source, which was crazy, is a tip for cleaning your drains in general. And it's to put like washing soda in your drains once a month. It's like the guy, I think it was like an AI voiced thing. I was trying my best not to listen to the voice. I'm just like, ugh. But maybe it wasn't. But the guy was like, yeah, he's like, I'm a plumber. This is like a tip that can help save your drains. He's like, now it won't fix the drain that's already backed up and clogged, but this could save you a lot of money down the road. To put like, I think it was like a quarter cup, like a half a cup or a cup of washing soda into your drains with hot water once a month. It's like it destroys the clogs that could build up in drains just from, skin and hair and, just soap scum and stuff like that. It's like you can break those clumps up and get that out of your system. It's like, I think it was like a cup of washing soda and the hot, like hot water. He's like, the chemical reaction it creates is not an exothermic reaction. So it doesn't heat up the pipes like pouring Drano down there. He's like, so it's safer for your pipes. It also helps clean out more of the gunk and stuff that's on the walls. He's like, yeah, and it makes the pipes last a lot longer. He's like, you just do this like once a month and it'll help keep them clean and clear. So I'm going to do the same thing. He's like, you can do it in your toilet as well. So that's the next thing I'm looking for, is to go run and grab some of that washing soda. He's like, it's not the same thing as baking soda. It's a similar kind of compound, but it's not the same. The washing soda is more aggressive, but the reaction is not going to damage your pipes. So he's like, plumbers do this all the time at their own cribs. They don't tell you about it because he's like, to be frank, we need to keep a job. He's like, if we told everybody about this, then we'd be out of a job. And why would we do that? He's like, I know it sounds mean, but it's self-preservation. He's like, but, you know, I'll be all right. There's plenty of other places I can go and make money, but like, if it helps some people, that'd be cool. I'm like, all right, I'll take that. Yeah, but the plumber guy was here. It was actually pretty awesome. He went by Candle on TikTok. Let me see if I can find the link for for his TikTok or in YouTube. But the dude was he started doing dancing to lose weight, and you know he looked great, and he was having fun doing it. He was doing really good footwork. So I said I would give him a shout out. Thanks a lot, Jonathan, aka Candle. Keep shining, bro. I appreciate you and the work you put in at the house, and hope you bring some joy to other people when they see your dance videos. And maybe you, who knows, man? Maybe you'll do like a dance video or something like that, and it'll just go viral. I don't know if it's, this podcast is going to be the thing to do it, but if you get out there, man, props to you. Appreciate you. Yeah, man, that was pretty dope. And now I said they got that little tip about washing soda. We got the toilet unclogged, so that's working great. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I had to talk to somebody about a situation with my mom. There's a light in the township just north of us that is a trap. It's not an obvious trap, but it's definitely a trap. And the city uses that funky little speed trap to get money out of people who don't know that they do this. Now I gotta pull up the footage today, but like I believe it because it got me when I first moved out here. It hit me with a fine. The city of Orange Park. This light at this intersection changes from green to red so fast that if you're not already through the light, you're almost always going to get pinged for, you know, running a red light, which is bullshit, but they know it. So they catch every now and then they catch somebody unawares, and they hope that they're going to get, you know, they'll be able to scam them out of their 150 of their hard-earned bucks or 160 of their hard-earned bucks. Problem is you did that shit to my mama. So first of all, fuck you. And second of all, I'm going to see if I can figure out a way to fight this shit. So y'all have to not only not charge her, y'all have to pay her back for all the bullshit you put her through. Because she called me yesterday frustrated and worried. And my mama got enough going on right now personally. And you know, she don't need any of the extra bullshit. But the city does this on purpose. They do it on purpose. They know that they can do it. And they know, here's how they know that they know they're on their bullshit. Because when they send the letter, they say, hey, you can either pay this ticket, right? Or you could try to contest it. But if you try to contest it and you're determined to still be at fault, then we're gonna charge you more money. So we're gonna charge you of processing and court fees on top of the ticket we gave you, which could be upwards of, you know, 350 to 400 bucks. I don't know about you, but I ain't got it like that to just hope that I'm gonna get treated fairly by, you know, by a state, like by a city municipal court. I don't believe that. Now, I would personally go fight it if I was able to, because I think that's just it's the thing to do. And the, you know, especially when you have the video, you know, the video graphic evidence, you can be like, hey, look at this light. See how this light goes? You clocked me going how fast through this? And that light was green as I was approaching it. So it wasn't like it was yellow when I was just gonna fly through it. It was green. And I got people behind me. There's traffic going around. I'm supposed to go from 40 miles an hour to a dead stop at this rate of speed in this distance and not cause an accident? Fuck you. You knew what you were doing. You know what you're doing. And this is a way to try to trap people and get money out of them. And the reason you'll take the 150, you'll take the like 160 is because you know people come in here, they'll just pay it. Because they're like, who's gonna believe me? Why would the city fight be on my side for this? So I'm like, all right, we'll see about that shit. We'll see about that shit. Because like I said, they got me and I was like, we could afford to pay this ticket. We shouldn't. We should go fight this thing. And I was like, oh, and my wife was like, nah, well, if we lose, I'm like, whatever, man, fuck that, because this is bullshit. Like, I didn't break any laws. I didn't run any red lights, man. Like, where am I supposed to stop You know what I mean? Even if I had run the light, like, where, how am I supposed to stop going 40 to 45 in that area? Which, that's what the speed limit is. And you clock me right there and you say I'm not breaking the speeding laws. You're saying I'm running the red light? Like, what am I supposed to slam on the brake? I'm going to either end up getting hit from behind, or I'm going to get T-boned if somebody comes through the intersection because I'll stop in the intersection. This is a stupid thing. You need to change this timing on this light before somebody fuck around and get killed. And then you have a bigger lawsuit on your hands than having to deal with a couple people who are just mad about your shitty ticket, you know, scams. So, Orange Park, Clay County, y'all know you fucked up and coming for your ass because this is bullshit and you should be ashamed of yourselves. I know ain't nobody up there gonna give a damn, but we'll see about that. I got a big enough mouth. I can make this a real fucking issue. That's what's up. Anyway. I'm still hot about that. Terrible, terrible. I'm just mad about it for my mom. I mean, for me, whatever. I got, and I would have rather fought against the shit because I don't believe in just taking an L for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, if I was gonna take the L, at least I'd be like, at least I fought, at least I tried. I think that's one of my other issues too, is like people are so non-confrontational to the point where they're like almost grateful for getting fucked over. I was like, thank you for fucking me over this way. It could have been so much worse if you had done it this way. I'm like, I'm not for that. Nah, I'm not gonna thank you for the privilege of abusing me. That's not how this shit works. That's not how I'm built. Like, that's not my construction, man. That's not my constitution. Thank you for fucking me over. Fuck you. That really pissed me off a lot. Like, I've got smoke practically coming out of my ears over this shit. Anyway. But yeah, good times, good times. Oh, a couple of quick recommendations before I do the I'm gonna do a media drop for the Patreon before I decide if I'm gonna kill it or not. You guys, if you haven't already, I don't know if you're much of a fan of, you know, if you're a fan of this podcast, you probably are a fan of, like, you know, science fiction, comic books, nerdy, geeky kind of things. If you haven't been watching Spider-Noir, I know it's on Amazon Prime. Boo! But it's actually a really good show. And the only way to watch it is black and white, in my personal opinion. Man, it's actually really well done. Nicolas Cage is engaging and charming and as weird as you'd expect Nicolas Cage to be. But that said, it's a great show. And it's its own twist on the Spider-Verse is excuse me. It's refreshing, but somehow it feels, it's like, because it's a new style of concept or whatever, but somehow it still feels familiar. It just harkens back to the old classics of, you know, of yesteryear from Hollywood television. Like the 40s and 50s crime serials, detective stories. If you like that kind of genre and you are into Spider-Man as a character at all, and that whole Spider-Verse, this is absolutely worth a watch. I think you guys will really enjoy it. So that's a positive thing to end on right there. I have more that I'm going to be talking about, but I have another podcast coming up pretty soon. That I'm hoping this all goes off without a hitch. And if that's the case, then great. We'll be posting that this Saturday, Sunday, something this weekend. I'm going to try to pull that together. With my friend, that Ginger Girl from Twitch. You can find her at that Ginger, GINGAHGIRL, on Twitch at twitch.tv/thatGingerGirl. We're gonna hopefully be able to pull this off, and then once we do, we'll drop that as like a basically like a bonus supplemental. It'll be a core episode, but be like more of a supplemental episode for the pod, talking gaming and whatever we can think of. But yeah, I'm gonna scoot for now. Go and try to grab myself a little bit of breakfast. It's still a little early, so it's not quite lunchtime. So I grab a little something to eat and get my energy back up for this next bit of podcasting for today. Thank you guys so much for listening to the pod. Thanks for sharing, being over on Patreon. Please send me some emails. I need to know that this is worth a damn to y'all. And check me out over on Blue Sky. The links are all in the podcast description and also on Twitch. All right, I'm out of here, guys. Love you. Mean it. Remember, hot outside. Water, sunscreen, shade. And catch y'all a little further on down the road. Peace.
I mean, yeah, peace.